The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
What a
alongside. Wes Reynolds is going to join us here momentarily. Talk PGA Championship.
Yeah.
U.S. Open, maybe.
His Pacers.
His Pacers. His Pacers, for sure, his Pacers. I'm going to guess Wes thinks they could do this. Not only against the Knicks, but totally. Do it all.
Former member of the Pacers whatever office. I was going
to
say front office.
He used to work for them?
He worked for the Pacers, yeah.
The front office or the back office?
I think he sold tickets for him way back in the day.
That's the back office.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I don't know what you really call that office.
Opposite of the front office. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch. If I had a nickel for every time I crack-em-burgered something. That was Kelly's Kelly's word for...
I had a list of something we didn't even get to.
Having a list of things to do or talk about that we never got to. Jamie Leva, I have to read this one very carefully, Kelly. He says, well, Gil, you could say the Padres shilt the bed. Cue the Who music from CSI Miami. LOL, have a great day, gentlemen. You know what that's a reference?
No, not at all.
Okay, when CSI Miami, David Caruso was the star of that show.
I'm just laughing back to our text exchange about this stuff last night.
What?
Just these network TV shows.
Oh.
It was like CSI Chicago Blue. So like, that might as well be the name for every single one
of
them.
In the middle of the basketball game yesterday. Was it the basketball game?
Yeah, no, it was the golf. PGA. It was golf.
In the middle of the PGA Championship.
Well, remember, Rolex... Net jets, private planes, and then people who still watch TV shows on network television.
They run a promo for Donnie Wahlberg. Donnie Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg's brother, one of the new kids on the block, I believe he was, wasn't he? Was Donnie Wahlberg a new kids? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So Donnie has a new show called, what was it? Was it called Boston Blue?
Boston Blue.
And so I immediately, did you text? Whatever it was, I think I texted. And I'm like, oh, there's another show that I will know nobody who watches. But and then you cleverly texted back, it might as well be called NCIS Boston Blue.
That's Chicago.
Chicago
Blue.
Because
like NBC's got like the 17 Chicago shows.
They're all the same.
Chicago Fire. Johnny Chicago Wahlberg. Police Department.
Anyway, so this reference to CSI Miami. David Caruso. Remember this really thin, slight, redheaded actor, David Caruso?
Yeah,
the whole
yeah.
thing with CSI Miami is he would say something, and then they would play the Who music as like a stinger right afterwards. So he would always be like, I'm trying to think of an example. Someone would be dead or, you know, and he would be like, I'll say dead on arrival. And he like churned his head and it would go bang. It was the whole thing. So anyway, that's what he's saying.
I just could never.
That's what he's saying about
shows.
The Padres right there.
The always like when I was younger, like, you know, teenage years, especially like I remember like being divorced parents, right? You're spending holidays every other year at a different spot. Right. And it would always be like the only time that me, my brother and my sister would all get together. My sister will die on this hill to the end of her days that like she cannot stand being around Thanksgiving with me because football's on all the time, right? Mm-hmm. It is. As soon as I got to turn the remote over, though, oh boy, those two both agree right away. Like, let's throw on Law and Order. And within 6 minutes, I'm like, I have never been so bored in my entire life. How do you guys watch this and you think it's entertaining?
It's like Queen Latifah, The Equalizer. You're like, who watches this?
I know Law and Order's been going on for like 25 years and a ton of people watch it. There's nothing more boring on TV than that.
But oh, so popular. Now I know who watches it. Your family.
That's right.
I'll tell you what we all do watch, or at least we've watched historically, is Hard Knocks on HBO. Did mm-hmm. you see that they changed the rules for who is eligible to be on Hard Knocks?
No.
Just like just the way he answered that, he's like, I don't want to know.
The Hard Knocks stuff has just gotten exhausting to me.
Well, here's the thing. Hard Knocks preseason with the Giants was so awesome that they're never going to do it again.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like, that the Giants exposed themselves so badly.
The offseason.
The offseason one. The pre-draft one from last year, not this year, but last year, was so amazing. I would say the second best installment of Hard Knocks of all time besides the Cleveland Browns traditional Hard Knock classic when Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson, that was the best one of all time. Anyway, so as far as that traditional Hard Knocks this year, it used to be, right, there was really big restrictions. You couldn't have been on the show, that a team was ineligible if they had been on Hard Knocks in the previous 10 seasons, they had a first-year head coach, or they had made it to the postseason in either of the last 2 years. So it eliminated a whole bunch of teams, and it would be like, oh, there's only five teams eligible, right? Washington was always one of them, and they never went on. They switched it now. Now it's you can't have been on Hard Knocks the last 8 seasons. Remember, it was 10 before. You still can't have a first-year head coach. But the postseason restriction, they have eliminated altogether.
Wait, what was it before? If you made the postseason, you didn't have to do it?
Last 2 years, if you made the postseason, you didn't have to be on Hard Knocks. You were ineligible.
You still don't have to do it.
No,
right?
No. But this is now the league can say, you know, can sort of nudge you into it, or you can be a participant if you want. But anyway, what this does is, so first-year head coach, Raiders, Jaguars, Jets, Bears, Saints, Cowboys, Patriots, they're not going
to
be on it.
I mean, like, that one's a tough rule, right? Because we're used to seeing some bad teams on this show, but, like, the turnover in coaches every year is huge.
That's a lot of teams that eliminates. Last 8 seasons that have been on Hard Knocks, Bears, Jets, Lions, Cowboys, Chargers, Rams, Raiders, Browns, Bucks, so they can't be on it. But with the postseason restriction removed entirely, here's the deal. Oh, there's also an in-season thing that they do now per division. So they're just going to rotate the divisions every 8 years. So also, if you're in the in-season division thing, you're also not going to be on the Hard Rock Classic before the season starts.
4 teams every year.
So we don't know who the in-season division is going to be yet. But without knowing that, here are some of the teams that are still eligible to be on this year's Hard Knocks. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, the Washington Commanders. Like, so there's a lot of teams now that are, like, really good. Denver Broncos, Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, there's a lot of teams now that were previously ineligible because they were playoff teams that are now like, oh, they're all fair game now.
So they still haven't decided who's going to be on Hard Knocks this year?
They have not decided.
That's pretty fascinating, actually.
Not decided. Okay.
No, it's really interesting. I'm going to go with it's Broncos.
That would be great.
I feel like the Broncos need they want to bring a little bit more attention to that franchise, too. I just, there's so many of those good teams I feel like are just going to never want to do it.
Oh, there's always going to be that.
Yeah.
But eventually they'll get you because the NFL will kind of make you do it. Okay. What was the other thing you wanted to talk about here? You said there was some.
I don't know. We had a list of 17 different things. You want to circle back to NBA?
Let's circle back to the NBA because I know you have thoughts on it.
Knicks Pacers. Nets. Huh, what a slip.
Oh, I know what you want to talk. You want to talk about Coco. We'll wait for Coco, though. So what's the what's your take on that? Because I stood firm on that, which is I feel like the Knicks love is a very, hey, I watched the regular season love. But if understanding Carl's points that the Pacers they've been the beneficiary of opponents' injuries for sure. But there's nothing about what the Pacers have done that makes me feel like they should be a dog to the Knicks at all.
There is first of all, hats off to Zach and JVT who did great series write-ups on both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference over at VSiN.com. Go check those out. I thought JVT did a great job pointing out some of the shooting luck, but a little bit on the Pacers side throughout the playoffs so far, just making more than what their expected rate has been in basically every category. Thought that was fascinating, but you know where the series price was is kind of where I expected it to be. Look, this Knicks team can put up a fight for sure, but I think one of the themes of this playoffs has just been the deeper teams getting further, right? And now the Knicks are kind of that last remaining team that it's, man, we rely on 6 guys and we don't really trust much more beyond that. And it's going to be, I think Carl brought up a good point. I expect to see a lot of what we saw, or maybe even what we thought we were going to see more of in that Denver OKC series of OKC's depth wearing them down. I think Indiana is going to be able to do that throughout the course of a series.
Here's the NBA Killer Sports VSiN Basketball Challenge. We have done this for the entire postseason. Carl Sack, who was just on the show, it's his brainchild. It's an ATS competition. He invited 15 people. He's one of the 15. And we had 20 picks to make in the first round, 10 to make in the second round, which is obviously where we are now post that. We'll have 5 to make in the conference finals, 5 total. By the way, it's full game ATS, full game total. There's no first halves, there's no second halves, there's nothing like that. It's just pre-flop, no in-games, pre-flop, ATS, pre-flop totals. we'll have five in this round, then we'll have three in the NBA Finals. So Kelly and I were just talking off air, like what felt burdensome, because it's still the same proportion, right? There's 16 teams, then eight teams, then four teams, then two teams, with the exception of the finals, which is a little different. But the first three rounds, it's the same proportion, 20 picks with, you know, eight series going, 10 picks with four series going, five picks now with two series going. Obviously, you don't know the length of each series. We both felt like 20 in the first round was burdensome. You and I did. Others did not feel that way. 10 was about perfect. Five here in this coming round feels a little light, right? Just a little bit heading into it. But we'll see. Maybe they're quick series and it won't feel that light. Anyway, here is your up-to-date standings. First prize, $3,000. Zach Cohen and Steve Fezzik are your co-leaders. Zach, NBA hardo. Steve doesn't even know how to spell NBA.
Zach ran these two down, huh? Fezzik and Kazarian passed him.
19 and 11. Doug is in second at 17 and 13. And then look at you and me. You, me, and Alex Christensen. Half game out of the money. 2.5 out of first.
Let's go.
We're the sneaky freaky brothers sneaking in from the rear. And then Kyle Akin still obviously very much in it. And that's the group really that's in contention. But these could change. This could change rapidly.
What do we got left? Eight?
We got eight total. So it can't really change that rapidly because we're running out of picks. So five in this round.
We got to win at least six.
Oh, I kind of figured that out in the last round where I'm like, I got to have a stretch here. And I did. But yes, it's got to continue. It's got to continue for both of us.
I think six were in the mix. Get up to 22 points.
Who's the betting favorite right now? Who's the short shot?
I mean, Zach and Steve coin flip.
But I'm going to say Zach is the short shot. No pressure, Zach.
Wish I had his futures tickets right now.
He's got the T-Wolves and the Pacers.
Yeah.
Right? Zach doing big things. Wes Reynolds on the other side. Pacers and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your day with an edge and a game plan. Listen to this, Kelly. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Your first look at the day's betting line, sharp action, and market movement in just 15 minutes. You'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets Podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or get in on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Check it out. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let's see, Brian M. Every time I walk into my parents' house, the TV is either on sports or on with reruns of CSI, NCIS, SVU, and L&O, etc. Yes, yep. It's all that stuff. Scuba Scott, my vote for this year's Hard Knocks would be the Green Bay Packers. The league throwing all that love to Green Bay this year by hosting the draft. Why not complete it by putting them on Hard Knocks? LFC also tweeted in again. So I wonder if the TV shows you watch could indicate future successes in life. Kelly would obsess over football on Thanksgiving while his siblings watch Law and Order. What do his siblings do for a living again? Dun dun. Insert Law and Order theme.
That's great. Yeah. That is great. Very true. Very true.
James Sott, are you guys, meaning you, Drew, and Zach, doing a French Open pod of the mega variety? Yes. We hope to do one this week. Hopefully Thursday. Wyatt Tomczyk out there listening. Hopefully Thursday. That's when the French Open draw will come out. They have a couple 250s and 500s on both the men's and ladies' side this week. Hamburg, Strasbourg, that kind of thing before the French Open next week. Begins on Sunday night, our time, French Open.
Hamburg, Germany?
Yes.
Strasbourg, Austria?
Oh, that's a good question. Switzerland? Strasbourg? Wow, I feel bad that I don't know. Okay.
It is. Wait, France?
Oh, it's on the border there, maybe? Is it a border town? Okay.
Well, you get the right response.
Questions that should be asked off air. Poor geography questions.
No, they're more fun on air. France.
France. Okay.
I would have gotten that so wrong. I would have gone.
But it's one of those things we should know.
I would have gone Austria or Switzerland first.
Before we get to Wes. You know the other big thing that happened this weekend? The Electric Daisy Carnival, EDC. Were you a part of it? Did you go?
No, not at all, Gil. It sounds like one of my worst nightmares to attend that. But the
me too.
It's just. Have you heard about like the traffic getting in and out of it?
They do.
That's the night.
They do it at the racetrack now?
Yeah, I think so, or somewhere up there.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, the smartest move I've heard is people paying to helicopter it. And I heard how much it was like last week, and I was like, you know, it's not even that bad.
Smartest thing they did was move it out there, because when it used to be here, closer to town, like it was...
I wasn't even around for that. But yeah, this morning downtown, we still got some EDC partygoers strolling the streets.
When EDC, I'm not trying to be funny here. When EDC first started, like if they got through it without a death by heat stroke or by something else, they were thrilled. Like it was bad the first few years.
That's awful. I don't know. I don't know what would have changed to have stopped that, though.
Because they got smarter. They got, like, water was abundant. I mean, it was really, like, bad news the first few years. Wes Reynolds joins us. I'm not sure if he's ever attended an EDC. He doesn't seem like an EDC kind of guy, but you never know with Wes.
You never know.
It's very surprising. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. How you doing, Wes?
Gil, I think you already know the answer to that question. Hell no, I would not attend an EDC. That's and I saw the tweets in terms of like what they charge in terms of for water and various beverages. It's like being out at the racetrack, like, it, you know, seemingly very, very far away in a very remote area of town. That seems like really, really miserable to me.
Yeah.
But to each their own.
To each their own. That's exactly right.
Wes and I couldn't live. Like, Vegas is not that big a place. If you guys haven't been here before, I think most people think Vegas is bigger than it really is, the whole city. But Wes and I both live about as far away from that as you possibly could while still being considered in Las Vegas.
I was right about Strasbourg, right on the border, but not with Switzerland, with Germany. There you go. Anyway.
Wait, we should be better.
Wes, did you have Scottie Scheffler in this tournament, in the PGA?
I did not. And, you know, you could say buyer's remorse, but, you know, he was around 4-1 or a little bit less. So it's kind of like you take a shot and try to beat him and hope he's off. And he wasn't off. And it wasn't like he was really great in one particular thing. His all-around game was the best. And I think, you know, There is a sign. I have a great picture of former Indiana basketball coach Bob Knight, where he's sitting in a locker room, just kicked back, drinking a Coke, and there's a prominent sign right next to him that says, "Victory favors the team making the fewest mistakes." And I think that applies to Scottie Scheffler here. Victory favors the player that makes the fewest mistakes. When he does make one, he is able to recover better than anybody else, just like kind of like Tiger was when he was on his run. And that's what happened. Like, if you look at the stat categories, he led tee to green, but it's not like he led in one particular category. He just wasn't bad in any of them and didn't have any deficiencies in his game. And even then, it got a little tight going into the back nine, where it's like, okay, you know, is he going to put this away? And then all of a sudden, a one-shot lead, and actually they were tied for a while, became like a six-shot lead, just like that. And he was by far the best player.
When we were doing primetime action, Kelly, Matt, and I made the outlandish statement at the time. I was like, you should probably think about betting Scottie Scheffler every single golf tournament. We have reached the point now, again, we just flashed up a stat earlier, 15 titles before the age of 29, three majors, only Jack and Tiger fit that category along with Scheffler now. Have we reached the point in the sport now? Obviously, the U.S. Open is the next major. And I guess the question, I want to ask it this way. Have we reached the point that it's Scheffler, Rory, and then it's everybody else? Or is it a little less simple than that? And then the other part of that is, when it comes to the U.S. Open, you do have some U.S. Open specialists historically, right? Andy North, who famously does analysis for golf on ESPN, he won two U.S. Opens. Like, his game lent itself to really hard courses and performing well on that kind of course. On the harder courses where there was less of a chance for someone to go out and shoot in a score that he couldn't possibly with the profile of his game. Do we have a player like that? Do we have a modern day equivalent to an Andy North? And what about the whole state of the game in general? Is it Scheffler and Rory so far ahead of the pack at this point?
I'll go with the latter question first. You've got a very, I think, very tight circle of players in terms of guys that have been winning major championships lately. Not only Scheffler, but McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, you know, as he kind of works his way back in the form. Keep in mind, he did win two of the four last year, so you can't necessarily rule him out. Bryson DeChambeau. I think what's going on here is the mid-range guys just aren't getting it done. The guys that are below that top class on the odds board that you see pretty much every single week, the guys in the 30-1 range, 35s, like, those guys don't feel like they're threats right now. to win majors, the Victor Hovlands of the world, the Patrick Cantleys,
Zalatoris,
Tommy Fleetwoods, the Colin Morikawas, even though he's not that far down the mid-range. They just don't feel like threats right now. It feels like a very concentrated, small circle of players that are going to win these things. And you just, I think the last dark horse was Brian Harman at the Open. Like, there's always kind of going to be an outlier every couple to few years where it's like a guy that comes out of nowhere is going to go ahead and win. But yeah, you just right now it's very, very top heavy. So when I look at it, going forward with the majors.
Wes, question about this week. I know you and I will be talking tomorrow on Long Shots about the Charles Schwab Challenge. I just pulled up the odds board, though, and I guess I'm a little surprised to see that Scottie Scheffler hasn't already withdrawn. Should we be making bets? Should we be making bets today, or do you think Scottie will stay in this thing?
I think he's probably going to stay in, Kelly, just because he is a Dallas guy now, and this is being played in Fort Worth. This is the Charles Schwab Challenge. Of course, Ben Hogan, this was essentially his event. They called the course Hogan's Alley down there at Colonial. So I don't think he's going to withdraw. I think, you know, unless there's a really, really good reason, and I guess winning the PGA is a pretty good reason, but I don't think he's going to withdraw this week. I would be shocked if he did. I don't think he likes to do that in these Texas events. He really wants to win these events in the state of Texas. So yeah, looking at the odds right now, +2.25 for him to win. And then the next price is 20-1. So that's what you're getting when you get a guy that's on a roll like Scottie Scheffler. Those are the odds you're going to get. So we shall see. I don't want to I'm worried to start writing this thing and it's like, oh God, I got to change the whole darn thing.
No, it's a good thought when you have such a difference between the short shot and the next shortest. It's a good thought to have. What about the question I asked about U.S. Open specific? Oakmont, June 12th. Is there a golfer today that fits that niche kind of thing that Andy North did back in the day?
Well, I usually with U.S. Opens, I do kind of like grinders a little bit. I was very surprised to see Matt Fitzpatrick play very well at the PGA. He was in it pretty much all weekend, was in the final couple pairings, and we did have him a couple years ago when he won at Brookline up in Massachusetts at the Country Club, and kind of a grinder. He's a guy, because the U.S. Open is a major that you're not shooting double digits under par. This is grind out for par and try to shoot one under on your round. And, you know, lower scoring events like that, I think, favor certain players that are a little bit grinder. So Matt Fitzpatrick, as I'm kind of looking down the list here, gives me a little bit of an interest because he's a grinder. He's not going to win at like 20 under par or something like that.
Wes, hold the thought. We'll come right back. We'll continue this with Wes Reynolds next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, this is the package everybody's talking about, the all-in summer hotel package at Circa Las Vegas, the ultimate getaway. Just $400 all in. Push your chips into the table. Two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party don't stop. All for just $400. Resort fees, taxes included. It's limited-time offers valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. You bought yours yet?
No? No, I have not, but I have multiple friends that have utilized this that are coming.
Good.
I've got a rant for you next segment, by the way. It's one of the Vegas, we've talked about it before. But like, I'll just do it now. The people that come to visit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got a text yesterday afternoon at, like, 2 o'clock. Like, hey, man, I'm in town. What are you doing tonight?
Oh, don't get me started.
And then, like, somehow you're the jerk for not being free night that they're there in Las Vegas. Like, why didn't you text me 5 days ago and tell me you were coming?
It's the most I don't want to say underrated, but it's the part about moving to Vegas that they don't tell you about is you will.
One of the coolest parts of living here and one of the worst parts.
Your friends, ranging from close to random,
yes,
will all come into town almost every weekend. And you will be guilted into you must do something. And you're like, okay, I have one day, just one day where I don't do anything.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, I got one of my best friends, Vito, in town this week. We're going to dinner.
Vito. He didn't mean you, Vito.
No, exactly. This is where he's the opposite because he's just in town to work. Like, he's old enough and gets it. And he's like, yeah, dude, we'll do dinner. We'll do early dinner. And I'm good. He's like, I got to be up early anyways.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. BM Gurgi WTA. Will there be a French Open pod with Drew? I hope so. Drew and Zach, I hope so this week on Thursday. Michael Salvino, I'm on the Pacers plus 1.5 for the series. Good luck to everyone. Let's see. New Jersey, New York. Truly a ridiculous sentence I'm about to type. Only reason I know Strasbourg is in France is because I drink Kronenbourg, a beer brewed there that says imported from France all over. It tastes good, but smells like weed.
Mm.
Spence, my new favorite Chicago show, Chicago Pope, comes on right after Chicago Blue CSI.
Oh, that's a great tweet.
The numbers, guys. Regarding Scotty, wait till he starts playing good.
Yeah, that's...
No kidding.
That is true.
Brent Johnson, best moment of the weekend. Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup over Man City and the first hardware in their team history. Congratulations, Crystal Palace. Michael Wozitek, I've been tracking the White Sox double play, first 5.5, with opponent full game win. And he does a lot of acronyms here, so I'm trying to like weed through it. I think that he means White Sox first 5 money line with opponent full game win so far this year. Let me know if you want me to share those numbers versus a rough price average when CWS, the White Sox, are home or away. Oh, Michael, yes, we do. Can you provide, please? There you go. That's your notice. I think Wes Reynolds just got a tweet, too, about the Indy 500. How you doing? Well, Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us again for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You must be in heaven. Pacers doing great. Indy 500 right around the corner, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Fever got kicked off with a big win over the Chicago Sky. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, of course, a little bit of a much ado about nothing, but it'll be yes. made something in the media, of course. But what I wanted to inform you, Gil, this from Rick Ollie, Rick underscore Ollie, O-L-I-E,
Rick
underscore
Ollier.
Quote.
Yeah.
Rick Ollie. Okay. Thank you. I didn't know how to pronounce that, but he said, at Wes Reynolds, remind Gil who is on the poll for the Indianapolis 500. And it is one Robert Schwartzman, who was born in Tel Aviv, Israel. He is a rookie in the Indianapolis 500. He races for the Prima team, which is based out of Italy. And Robert Schwartzman became the first rookie since 1983, Teo Fabi, in what was the Skull Bandit car back when Indy, you could have those tobacco sponsors in Indy. It was a great looking car, the Skull Bandit. So Robert Schwartzman, born in Tel Aviv, raised in St. Petersburg, Russia, also in Italy.
Let's go.
He is on the poll for the Indy 500, Gil.
Instant leaflet.
9-1 at DraftKings. Your favorite is Pato O'Ward.
We have a play, Wes, for the Indy 500. Do you have any thoughts?
We are going to be looking because there was a little bit of drama today. The Team Penske cars actually were not allowed to qualify. There was something wrong with the inspection in their car that didn't abide by their rules. So
cheaters.
A couple of those drivers get put back 32nd and 33rd. But the guy that's been dominant in the IndyCar series this year has been one Alex Palou out of Spain, who rides for the Chip Ganassi team. And I think he is 6-1. Pato, by the way, was the one that got beat at the wire last year by Joseph Newgarden. So he's certainly out for redemption. But a wide open field at the front, especially with the Penske cars being pushed to 32nd and 33rd on the grid.
And you were saying off air, pole position with Schwartzman, he's got a legit shot, right?
Absolutely. If you're on the pole, you yeah. should have a shot. Now, do I expect him to win? No, he's a rookie. He's, you know, young guy. And, you know, there's a little bit of pressure being the pole sitter and leading the field of 33 to the green flag at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But the odds have certainly been cut because he was a dark horse, kind of a longer shot, but went out there with some speed and was quick really in all the practice sessions and held on for pole yesterday. So kind of a cool moment to see a small team. And it's a first year team, by the way, in the IndyCar series. They don't even have a primary sponsor right now. And there was a car that did not make the field that has the old Miller High Life Danny Sullivan livery or paint job from the 1980s. So maybe the man from Tel Aviv can have the champagne of beers on the car at the Indy 500. Wouldn't that be a good match?
What a story that would be. By the way, sweet Lou Gambaloo, Lou Finicaro just texted. He goes, how about that, Gil? he says a Yiddish kid. He made a Jewish kid driving for the Italians. Just seems appropriate. Yes. Lou, let's go. Both of us. We're in this together. Before we get to your thoughts on the Pacers, did you answer the question that I answered before fully? I heard about the sort of a U.S. Open grinder kind of golfer in this day and age. I heard you say Matt Fitzpatrick as part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy. His game has been off really over the last year and a half. But he was a guy. I'm just kind of looking at the prices here and giving it an eyeball in the mid range. And you know, Matt Fitzpatrick, I think 50-1. Maybe this was an outlier of what we saw at Quail Hollow at the PGA this week. But he's a guy that I think you're going to want to certainly look at. Perhaps Corey Connors, who played solidly. I think he finished top 20 yet in another major. Has never won a major, but always a good ball striking guy. Always tops on approach, and you know, maybe this is the one where he's going to win, because Corey Connors not a great putter historically, but a really good ball striker. And this is Oakmont at the U.S. Open, so this is going to be like 5 or 6 under par to win this thing.
Yeah,
you're not going to see guys, you know, shooting 15 under to win at Oakmont. The last U.S. Open at Oakmont, by the way, was Dustin Johnson, who is absolutely nowhere with his game. If you saw how far he was finishing behind club pros at the PGA this weekend.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks away, by the way. 3 weeks and a few days away is the U.S. Open in golf. This is a nice time of year in terms of tennis and golf majors coming at you pretty quickly now. French Open, tennis, U.S. Open golf, Wimbledon, so on and so forth.
Yeah, it was a losing tournament for me, Gil and Wes. It was a losing tournament for me, but man, miraculous how many guys played themselves out of the top 20 and top 30 to allow me to cash Corey Connors tickets there. So thank you guys. Cause I looked at that leaderboard on Sunday morning. I'm like, no shot at this. Yeah. Enough guys got out of the way.
Wes, before we roll out of here with you, Indiana Pacers, your Indiana Pacers, I really believe they could make their way to the NBA finals here. Like I'm almost expecting it. After that, different story, maybe if they run into OKC. How do you feel about this team right now? And would you bet on them?
Yeah, hashtag yes, sirs, for the Pacers. That's blue collar gold swagger is better, but that's another story. But yeah, look, I think the Pacers can win the whole thing. I think that this is wide open. Oklahoma City, deservedly the favorite. They won 68 games. And when you look at how they profile analytically, it's like, man, they're the best team since like the mid-2010 Warriors in terms of wins. But then you kind of watch them and they leave you wanting more. Didn't leave you wanting more yesterday after they ran out the Nuggets after a slow start. All of a sudden, that thing went from being down 8 to being up about 15, it seemingly in like 2 minutes. But yeah, I like the Pacers here. I think the Pacers are not getting the credit for what they did to the Knicks last year, where they won game 7 in the Garden, despite what some national media like, oh, I think that's going to be too much for the Pacers. Well, it wasn't too much for them last year. And I know the Knicks were banged up, but these teams get banged up against the Pacers, Gil, because the Pacers are physical, because they pick you up 94 feet, because they are hard to guard, because they spread the floor. So it isn't just like total random luck that these teams, you know, somehow, you know, come up a little bit lame against the Pacers. It's because the Pacers push the pace. It's because they make it difficult for you to guard. So that's never really talked about. It's like, oh, the Pacers just got lucky to be here. They got lucky to be in the East Finals. They're lucky to be here again. I don't think they're lucky at all. This has been the fourth best record in the NBA since January 1st. So I like the Pacers. I think what one of your tweeters said, Pacers plus 1.5 series spread. I think that that's a very good way to go to bet this series. I think this may go the distance.
I think that's a great bet, too. I'm going to take the Pacers pre-flop here, I believe, as well. You're about to say something?
No, I was just going to say, I've come around a little bit on the series spreads. I'd rather lay the juice and take 2.5 games. And not because the 1.5, just you have to force a game 7 to get there, right? I think I'd rather just play it outright or pay the tax and take 2.5 games.
Wes, always fun. Appreciate it, man. Let's see you in studio one of these days.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Good to be with you.
Wes Reynolds at WesReynolds1. That's the number one on Twitter. Again, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. We'll recap all the bets and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly Billings getting very angry. Hey, feel a rant coming.
Take away our phones for everything these days, Gil.
We had tweets. Rich Copro. I knew that Strasbourg was in France because it was a stop on this season's amazing race. Don't judge me.
Hey, you know what? At least I'm okay with if you have some love for a game show or reality show, I'm not going to judge. I'm going to judge things like the NCIS Chicago Blue stuff, though.
3JackH3131. Always love hearing Wes on the show, especially with the throwback indie knowledge. Also, Dustin Johnson's probably doing just fine without his golf game. Have you seen his wife have a Super Monday? Best listeners in the game. Would you like to rant about what we were just talking about real quick?
Well, we're talking about the events in Las Vegas, and I'm sure they're everywhere, but that you get your cell phone taken away for.
Bruno Mars famously takes the cell
Bruno
phone
Mars,
away.
Bruno Mars, a lot of the stand-up comedians in this town do it now, and I'm like, Bruno Mars, maybe different, fine, whatever. Everybody's just a little too full of themselves, you know? Like, these stand-up comedians I got to turn my phone in for, like, half the guys I've never even heard of that I see, Gil. I'm like, maybe a little, like, someone accidentally posting a crappy video of you on YouTube. I don't know. It might actually help you out a little bit.
Yeah, who was the, remember the whole Bill Cosby thing started with a grainy comedy footage? What was that, a comic's name? I forgot his name. Burris. Hannibal Burris. Was that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if no one takes a video during his show, none of that maybe ever happens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that was my angle that I was going for.
No, but I'm just
saying,
stuff happens.
Stuff happens. It's true.
I just
hate that he got to carry around that bulky, stupid little bag. And then, like, before I leave, I got to go get it checked out, basically.
Yeah. It's annoying. It's annoying.
It's like the whole like tab they put on clothes, right? That's like the same thing that like you got to go up to somebody and get it like punched, removed.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Wow, you've got a lot of annoyance. You're like a ANG Seinfeld.
I mean, if you want me to take it further, like I get it from the artist perspective. I get it. It's all your fault out there. It's just for everybody's got to spend too much time on their phone and you can't enjoy a show.
Can I tell you something?
I
went to a Bruno Mars concert in 2013. This is before he was like widely known.
Yeah.
He was kind of known, but not like massive, right?
I probably had no idea who he was in 2013.
This was the concert where like my buddy Tommy, it was like seeing Prince in 1979, basically. My buddy Tommy on the way out was like, we just saw something special, didn't we? Like, it was one of those moments. Anyway, people had their phones out during that concert. Can I tell you something? It was ridiculous. It's like everybody's got their phone out videoing this thing. It's like, watch the show.
Yeah.
So I can see how he got annoyed by it because everybody would have their phones out. So he changed that. Anyway.
And don't get me wrong. If I went to the Masters, like I would love that there was no phones around.
Oh, yeah.
But I would still complain about having my phone taken away. I don't like that.
Let's recap the bets that we have today. Again, this is a weird day because we don't have basketball today. We don't have hockey. Basketball resumes tomorrow night. Hockey resumes
Tuesday night as well.
Tuesday night as well. That's right.
First time in a month without a NBA or NHL playoff.
Yeah.
Month flies by. Wow.
What are you going to do? You're going to have to watch baseball.
Oh, I'm going to be in bed by 8 o'clock tonight. It's going to be fantastic.
It's
going to be great.
So we'll recap the bets that we did have on the show today, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. Every show, every host, every guest, every sport, recapped. Pacers plus 140 on the series price. I am in. Split my two in-series bets from last round. I had the Pacers after game one. That cashed at plus 191. Did lose the Nuggets one, though, obviously, in a game 7 blowout. To the Thunder, I had them at plus 2 something. But anyway, made money on those two bets. So I am on the Pacers, plus 140 pre-flop here against the Knicks, best of 7 Eastern Conference series, Eastern Conference final series. You do have a couple Thunder Wolves plays.
Yeah, I do. And I'll be with you on Pacers. I think before we tip off, I kind of want to play that a little bit like Carl's talking, where there's part of me that's saying wait till after game one and then maybe get involved. But like you've brought up, the train could leave the station by that point. You get a win on the road. That's going to dramatically shift the series prices. So I would at least be in it a little bit on this Pacers price. You got a nice number right now. I don't think there's any reason to rush, though. This is the only movement we've seen so far is a little bit to the New York Knicks side, and I think I'm going to expect that to continue here over the next 48 hours, really, especially as more public money gets involved. Bets I've made so far, Wolves, again, I have a bunch of Thunder futures. There's nothing that I'm doing from a series perspective right now to buy off of that at all. I think how I'm probably going to attack this, Gil, is with the Timberwolves just in game bet. So I did bet the Wolves game one. I think you're getting over 7 points. Quick turnaround for the Thunder, just played Sunday. You've had this Timberwolves team with plenty of time to prepare for either opponent that was going to come out of this situation. I think they're going to be a challenge. And the only series bet that I've made so far, Wolves Thunder over 5.5 games. I expect this goes 6 or 7 games. So I think Thunder win this, but it's probably in 6 or 7, and this goes pretty long. It's an interesting matchup. I can't wait to watch this series. I think from Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle, it's going to be wild, the different defenders that Thunder can throw at them, but Randle's been great.
By the way, Wes Reynolds did have a hockey play. He didn't get it on the show, but he is on the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes.
This is a game one price?
Yeah.
Game one, he's on the Hurricanes versus the Panthers. That series begins tomorrow night. The Hurricanes, as Andy McNeil used to pronounce them, Carolina, minus 119. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Again, every bet on the show is recapped by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. We're once again, we didn't have the whole thing here. The official bank of VSiN has a cashback rewards on gaming and sports app loads. Earn 1% on that. Earn 2% on cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more info and to apply, visit VSiN.com/GBank. We are obviously bettors. We are obviously big basketball fans, and we'll watch anything when it comes to a conference finals. What do you think? Think of the person in your life who is a big sports fan, casual bettor, but a big sports fan who is not necessarily an NBA fan. Let's say they're like a football fan who like only shows up for the NBA when...
Oh, my father. This is Thad Biddle.
So I'm thinking of my buddy...
They're traveling. Every time, Gil, they're traveling.
So I'm thinking about a whole bunch of my friends. Do you think they will watch... Because remember, we have three out of the four teams. One's New York, I get it, but the others are Minnesota, Indiana, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Like, I think the NBA is braced for this. How you think the ratings on Minnesota OKC are going to be way down? I do.
Ooh, it's a good question.
Because we think it's great, but I think the average fan, the average sports fan who's more of a football fan, who's kind of like a half-baked NBA fan, is going to be like, yeah, just call me. Wake me up before the finals.
It's a good question. Is the Knicks' success, I don't think they'll be terrible. But I get your point. I think part of the reason that they will be okay is because the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and if you get wrapped up in one series, you're probably going to get slightly wrapped up in the other.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
But it's a good point.
Yeah.
So what do we have? We have four teams. You have two, if you include the Sonics championships for the Thunder, right? Knicks and Thunder go back to the 70s since they last won one, and the other two franchises have never won.
Yeah, Sonics would be 1979. Knicks would be the early 70s. Minnesota never, and Indiana never,
yeah.
Right? Because they were an ABA team.
And then the other big one that people are bringing up today, I think this is kind of cool. I don't know how you think about this, because we had such the great rivalries of Warriors, you know, Warriors and Cavs, right, in the late teens. Now this is the seventh straight year we're going to have a different NBA champion.
Seventh straight year we'll have a different NBA champion?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you go back to 2019 with the Raptors.
That's right, Raptors, because KD and Clay got hurt. 2020 was the weird bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers.
Yeah, if you just look at the list of the teams, I actually think it's kind of cool because it's still like it's still very much star power driven teams that are winning this. I think in the long run, yeah, I think it's good to have dynasties types teams, right, to drive sports, like especially like the NBA. I think those are great, but I think after you went through so many years of the Warriors and the Cavs, I think getting this mix of teams is perfectly fine. I have no problems with it.
Bucks 2021, Warriors won again in 2022, Nuggets 2023, Celtics last year, and yeah, new one this year.
And like, I can't hate on any of those champions.
No.
Well,
I can.
The Raptors won because how much money have I had outlaid on certain series? Warriors in that NBA Finals is the biggest bet at that point in my life I had ever made.
Achilles and blown out knee. Achilles for KD and ACL for Clay.
That was rough.
The Bucks had the easiest path, I think, of all of them in terms of who they played in the playoffs, seeding-wise. Bucks had a super easy stretch.
Probably. You want to talk about paths real quick?
And Boston last year. Boston, actually, last year.
Yeah, Boston probably wins it.
I'd have to maybe look even, at it again. Maybe even easier than the Bucks. Yeah.
You know what, though? The Wolves, it's being slept on a little bit. Wolves are playing great. They're a great team.
Yeah.
I was high on them coming into the playoffs. I bet them against the Lakers. You went through the Lakers, and then Steph Curry got hurt in game two. Prove it to me. It's prove it to me series now, Timberwolves.
Yeah. We'll do French Open. We're going to do some French Open stuff. We'll do that either tomorrow or the next day. We'll do college baseball tomorrow with Ben Wilson as the College World Series approaches here in the coming weeks. In the meantime, so you had a Coco question, but we'll save that for tomorrow also.
Yes.
Coco. Great Clay numbers. But can she get it together? I could say that about somebody else. Mental game is so big. Money Moves is next with Stormy and JVT. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.